Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is B'Metzia daf Mem Ches. We left off on daf Mem Zayin Amud Beis. We are at Bishlama L'Reish Lakish, about six lines from the end of the page on daf Mem Zayin Amud Beis. Today's shiur is once again sponsored by Dr. David Landerer, in honor of his wife and children, and Lili Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha Aleha Shalom, as well as by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and our captives. They shall all return home safely. We thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So we are right in the middle of the sugya of Ma'os Konos. We know that on a Doreis, on a Derabbanan level, Ma'os does not effectuate a Kinyan, on Metaltalin at least, certainly for Karka it does, but not for Metaltalin. So we had a Machlokas whether that's true on a Doraisa level, that Midoraisa, what's the Kinyan for Metaltalin? Is it Ma'os or is it Meshicha? So the Gemara is going to continue that discussion around that Machlokas and bring a Raya in that Machlokas. Then the Gemara is going to discuss when it is that we apply the special curse of Misha Parah for someone who doesn't keep their word, even though no actual Kinyan has been made. The Gemara is then on Amud Aleph, going to spend most of Amud Aleph bringing a raya to Reish Lakish that Ma'os Konos, that ain't Ma'os Konos on a Torah level, from both a pasuk and from a brisa. We're going to have a pasuk about a carbon shavua and a brisa about meila, and from each one we're going to have a raya to Reish Lakish that midoraisa Ma'os is not konos. That's going to be a raya from each of those sources. Then the Gemara is going to have a machlokas what exactly the nature of a misha para is. We say, oh, misha para man shidara mabul man shidara flaga is going to be Parea. This person, does that mean that we inform the person that he's going to be under a curse, or does it mean that Beis Din actually actively curses the person? Then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to have a machlokas whether partial payment is kona, the entire, meaning in a case where money is kona, which means on karka, where money does work as a kinyan, what if you pay partial payment? Is it kona the entire mekach, or is it only kona up until the value of what you paid? Or, for example, when it comes to metaltalin, where money does not actually affect a kinyan, but it at least creates a mishapara, it at least creates a curse. So only a mishapara up until the value of what was paid for, or does it affect a mishapara on the entire item? And then at the very end of the daf, the Gemara is going to have two explanations of the machlokes tanaim, what shmita does to a halva'a that has a mashkon that's worth half the loan amount. Meaning when you have a halva'a that doesn't have a mashkon, shmita cancels the loan. When you have a halva'a that has a mashkon, shmita does not cancel the loan. What if you have a halva'a, there's a mashkon, but the mashkon's not worth the halva'a. The mashkon is worth half the amount of the halva'a. So what effect does shmita have on such a loan? So we're going to have a machlokas about that and different explanations of what that machlokas is all about. So we are holding up Bishlam el Reish Lakish, about six lines from the end of the page, on Daf Mem Zayin Amud Beis. So again, we had this machlokas Amoraim, whether the Shita of the Rabbanan, of the Tanaim, of the Rabbanan, is that Moses is Einon Konos Minatorah, or that the Shita is that Moses is really Konos Minatorah, and then meet the Rabbanan, they just had to make it that it's Einon Konos, because of a gzera shemiyomer nisru chitecha ba'aliyah. So it says, we're bishlam of the Reish Lakish. I understand very well, according to Reish Lakish, who learns the shita of the Rabbanan, the Moses is not kona min haTorah at all, that only Meshicha is kona, haynu dika ben Rabbi Shimon the Rabbanan. Oh, that explains what exactly the machlokas is between Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanan in our Mishnah, that the Rabbanan hold the Moses is not kona min haTorah at all, and therefore, before the Meshicha, both the Lokeach and the Mocher can be chozer, even though money has changed hands, whereas Rabbi Shimon holds that that's only a takanas chachamim, that prior to the Meshicha, someone could be chozer from the Mekach in order to encourage the Mocher to want to save the stuff in case there's a fire. And therefore, it's only for the Mocher that the Chum were Mesakein, that he's able to be chozer, but not for the Lokeach. And that's that explains the Shita of Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah, that Yadu Ala Elyona, once he receives the money, El Rabbi Yochanan, Yochanan, but according to Rabbi Yochanan, who holds that even the Rabbanan agree that Moses is konos min haTorah, that money actually effectuates a kinyan min haTorah, and it's only a takonos chachamim that up until Mashiach you don't have anything. Well, then Ma'ika bein Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanan. Why would Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanan disagree about who could be chozer, who's allowed to back out, whether they can both back out or only one party is allowed to back out? So says Gemara, the way that Rabbi Yochanan will understand the machlokas tanaim is ikapenayu to Rav Chista, that they're arguing about the din of Rav Chista. Dam Rav Chista derusha tiknu mashicha b'mochrin kach tiknu mashicha b'lukochos, that just like the chamur masakein, that a mocher is able to back out so long as a mashicha has not been done, in order to encourage the mocher to save the items if there's a fire that broke out. So too, for the very same reason, they were masakein that a Lokeach is able to back out, because now he'll for sure be the mocher will for sure be tareach to save whatever items he had sold, because they're choshesh that maybe the buyer is going to see a dleika and he's a fire that's coming and he's going to back out and the mocher is going to lose everything. So they made a takana that the kinyan is already effective. Rabbi Shimon less leads Rav Chista. Rabbi Shimon does not hold that this they were mesakeh this din of Mashicha on the Lokeach as well, like Rav Chista said they were, and therefore the Lokeach is not able to back out. Rabbanan Nisud Rav Chista and Rabbanan Hol, they were misaking it for the Lokeach as well, just like Rav Chista said, and therefore both the Mocher and the Lokeach are able to back out. So the Gemara asks on Reish Lakish now from our Mishnah. Tanan, it said in our Mishnah that if you gave money and you didn't yet do the Mashicha, so you're able to back out because Ma'us is Einon Konos. But then the Mishnah added, Aval Amru, but the Chacham said, look, you're allowed to back out, but if you do, Misha Parah Midor HaMabul, Hu Asli Parah Mimisha Eino Omed B'Diburo, that the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who saw to it that the Dor HaMabul got punished for their wrongdoings, is going to see to it that a person who backs out of his commitments is also going to be punished. Well, Yam Bishlama Moos Konos, if you hold that on a Dor Raisa level, money actually effectuates a Kinyan, so Misha Mahachi Ka'i Ba'aval, I understand why someone who backs out after money was paid is going to suffer the consequences of a curse, because on a Daraisa level a kinyan happened. You can't back out after a kinyan happened. So granted the Rabbanan were masakin that it's not a kinyan, but there's some remnant of that din Daraisa in the form of a curse. Eli Amit Mos Eidim Kodos, but if you hold on a Daraisa level Mos is not Kona, on a Rabbanan level Mos is not Kona, am I Koy Ba'aval? Why should someone who backs out be subject to such a klala? He didn't do any sort of kinyan. So says Gemara, no, even according to Reish Lakish, that there's no kinyan whatsoever by giving money, not on the Daraisa level, not on the Rabbanan level, still there's a klal of Misha Parah, Mishum Devarim, because he was chozer from the words that he said, and if they made an agreement, they made a commitment, so he deserves to get punished for failing to abide by that commitment. Says Gemara, Ubedvarim, he koi ba'aval, for words alone, without any kinyan, he's going to have to suffer the consequences of a Misha Parah. Does that make sense? That for Dvarim alone, just for words, he's going to have to suffer the consequences of a Misha Parah. Vahatanya, I'll bring you a Brisa that seems to indicate otherwise, that he should not have to suffer the consequences of a Misha Parah just for words alone. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Afal Pisha Amru, that even though the Chum said, Talis Kona Dinar Zahav, Ein Dinar Zahav, Kona Talis, that someone who wants to buy a Talis for a Dinar Zahav, and he does a Mashicha on the Talis, as soon as he does that Kinyan Mashicha, he's now obligated to pay the dinar zahav, and no one's allowed to back out because the real kinyan was done. But if he didn't do a mashicha on the talis, he just gave the dinar zahav for the talis, and no kinyan was done on the actual talis itself, then there's no kinyan because ma'os is not kona metaltalin, and therefore the dinar zahav is considered like ma'os legabe other metaltalin, right? Meaning, as we've learned already, that even if all the dinar zahav has the din of a commodity, legabe metaltalin, it has the din of currency. So if I only gave the dinar zav with the hope of getting back the talis, there's no kinyan that's been made yet. But mikol makom kach halacha, that's true that that's the halacha. Bezin cannot prevent anyone from backing out of this mekach. Aval Amru, but the Chacham said, Misha Par, Man Shedar Mabel, Man Shedar Flago, Man Shed Sodom, Ba'amora, Umi Mitzrayim Bayam, the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who punished all of these different people, it says Dara Mabel, because they were Mali Chamas, so they were not Omid B'Diburim. Dara Flaga is, so Rush points out, is Agav Dara Mabel, because it's in the same Parsha. Mitzrayim were also not Omid B'Diburim, because every year they would promise to send B'nai Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, and then they would back out of their commitment. That's what the Tosa Rush says. That's why we mentioned the Mitzrayim Bayam, because all of these relate to people who didn't stand by their word. Otherwise, what's the point? I mean, you could say anyone who suffered Yisurin in the history of humanity as an example of the same God that punished them, for their averos. No, but we're dafka identifying averos of people who didn't stand up to their commitments. So who asad lipara mimi she'en omid b'diburo? He's also going to punish those who do not live up to their commitments. And Rabbi Shimon also says that when they just had a conversation between them that I'm going to sell you this, and they didn't do a mashicha on it, and they didn't give any money, nothing. It was just a conversation. Lo kana. Then there's no kinyan. And if someone backs out of a conversation, a verbal commitment, then the chacham are not happy with him. And Rava says that, when there are no sevinosim b'dvarim, there's no real klala. It's just that the chachamim are displeased with him. So you see that if a person just had a conversation, there's not a klala of a mishapara. I don't know why the Zoom is so spotty today. I apologize to the people on the Zoom. I think when I come later, it's spotty. I don't know. It takes like an hour for my phone to hook up with the Wi-Fi. I'm not sure. So Amar Rava, anu ein lanu ela ein ruach chamim nochei menu. That we don't have any other klala. It's just ein ruach cham nochei menu. So you see that I'm backing out just on a verbal commitment. There is no misha para. So how can we say according to Reish Lakish there's a misha para just being chozer bidvarim? So answers the Gemara. Dvarim vika badayu maos. When they had a verbal commitment and in exchange of money, then kai ba'aval. Then there's a mishapara. Even though ma'us is not konos at all, nevertheless, since he's being chozerbo from words that led to an actual maisa of nisinas ma'us, so that leads to a mishapara. Because it was more than just words. It was words plus money changing hands. That's where the consequences are significant enough that it's a mishapara. Dvarim v'leka badayim ma'us. But if it's only Dvarim, and there is no money that changed hands, lo kai bavol. Then there's no misha para, and that's where the Reish Lakish is moda that nosim b'dvarim is not mekabel a misha para. That it's only going to be ein racham noche menu, which is also not kishmak to have ein racham noche menu, but it's not the same. It's not quite the same level as a misha para. So Tosos raises the question: how could they ask initially from this brisa the chilik in the teretz is mefurish in the Brisa, meaning we were saying, a difference between when money changed hands and when it was purely a verbal commitment. Chiddush, that's not a Chiddush, it said a Beferish in the Brisa. So Tosfos says, no, this Brisa is Rabbi Shimon, who holds that most konos midar Raisa, even the way, according to the way Reish Lakish learns him. And therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon, when there's Ma'os, there's a Mishapara, and when there's no Ma'os, there's no Mishapara. So the Maksha is comparing giving money, which is not Kona, will the fi shitas rabbanon according to Reish Lakish, to dvarim below ma'os, which is not kona l'Rabbi Shimon. So that was really the havamina was that chilik only applies within Rabbi Shimon, and that chilik won't apply within the rabbanon. That chiluk will apply within Rabbi Shimon and will not apply within the rabbanon. You got it? We're going to do that one? Okay. Let's try this one. Okay, hopefully this will be better. So that was the Havamin of the Gemara. Okay, now Rava brings Rayos from, as we said, two places, both a Pasuk and a Braisa, that Reish Lakish is correct, that Minat Torah, Mo'us is not Kona Mitaltalin, at least for a Hedyot, not for a Kachim. So Amar Rava, Kra'u Masnisa, Misayel Reish Lakish. We have a Pasuk and we have a Braisa that's gonna support Reish Lakish. Krad, the Pasuk that supports Reish Lakish, is about someone who's Kofra B'Mamon, that he owes somebody else, and then he swears falsely about owing someone else money in order to get off the hook. V'kichesh ba'amiso b'bikadon o b'tsumas yad o b'gazal o ashakes amiso. So it gives four examples of denial of owing money. There's pikadon, tsumas yad, gazal, or ashakes amiso. So the Gemara explains different parts of this pasuk. Tsumas yad, that's a halva'a. So Amar Rav Chista, sheyichelo kli l'alva'a. That we're talking about where the lova was miyachid a kli for the loan in order to that the malva should get paid back, and the malva is toveya that kli. The lova denies the owing that kli, and he swears that he owes him nothing. And in such a case, the halva'a is like a pikadon, where he's asking for a particular object that's be'en, that actually exists, and someone who's kofer in that and is nishpa l'sheker is chayiv shvuas hapikadon. And then oshak refers to someone who's chayiv schar sachir. You owe wages of a worker that you haven't paid. So Amar Rav Chista, kigon sheyichelo kli la'ashko. Not just that you owe wages, it has to be that there's a specific item that he's looking to get. So the balabayis was miyachid for the poel, a particular kli that you're going to be able to collect your wages from, and the poel was toveya, and the balabayis denied it, and he swore that he didn't know anything. So in the parsha of Karban Shua, we're talking about a case of tsumas yad as well. And then v'chiyah hadre kra. And then when in the hemshich of the pasuk, when it talks about the returning it, meaning that the nishba l'sheker has to is moden, he has to return the money to the rightful owner. It says ksiv v'haya kiyechta v'asham, that the guy did this aveira and he swore falsely and he denied everything. So what does he need to do? He has to return any of these items, except if you look at the list, it didn't go through the whole list again of the different items, of the examples that we gave of what a person might deny and what a person might swear falsely to. It never mentions at the end, in the next pasuk where it talks about returning the item, it never mentions a halva that had a kli that was miyuchad to pay that halva. So it doesn't talk about that. My time, why doesn't the Torah require you to return that? Lav mishum de mechaser mashicha. Isn't it because you didn't do a mashicha yet on that kli, and therefore you were not kona that kli? And since even Mo'os is not konos min haTorah, so even though money changed hands, but Mo'os is not konos min haTorah, so a halva of money is not going to be able to be makne that kli. So you see a raya to Reish Lakish that midaraisa Mo'os ain't konos. That's why the pasuk left off that din of tsumas yad in the hashava, because you only do a hashava if the guy was kona. But where is the kinyan? There was no mashicha, and if there's no mashicha, the ma'us alone is not going to be kona. So Rav Papa rejects the raya. So Amalei Rav Papa, the Rava, Ema, could be that ma'us is konos min haTorah, and the lova has to return the kli that was miyuchad to the malva. However, the Torah doesn't need to mention it in the pasuk about hashava, because me oshek hu dahadar kra. Since we learned that din that you have to return by the halva from the din of oshek, from the din of schar sachir, of paying the wages of a worker, that even though the worker maybe didn't do a mashicha on that kli, and nevertheless the Torah says explicitly you do have to return it, so it's logical, obviously, that by alva the same is going to be true, that if I borrowed money and we were miyachid a kli, that I'm going to have to pay you back, that all the same dinim are going to apply. So now Rav responds, hacham ayaskinan, by oshek, where are we talking about? The sachir took the kli from the balabayis, v'chazru v'fkidu etzlo, and then he gave it back to him as a pikadon. So then he's kona the kli with the Mashiach, and therefore the Baal HaBayis has to return that kli to him. But by Tzumas Yad, by a Halva'a, we're talking where there was no Mashiach at all, and therefore the Torah does not require him to return the kli. Meaning, don't tell me that the two cases are the same, and therefore you learn one from the other. No, the Chumash doesn't tell me what sorts of kinyanim were done over here, but we're making a Rukimta that it must be that there is a difference between these two cases of Schar Sachir on the one hand and Halva'a on the other hand. And why is it that I'm going to have to return the Schar Sachir kli, the kli that was miuchad for the Schar Sachir, but not the kli that was miuchad for the Halva? It must be because I did a Kinyan Mashicha on the kli that's miuchad for the Schar Sachir, and I never did a Kinyan Mashicha on the kli that's miuchad for the Halva. And if I didn't do a Kinyan Mashicha, I didn't do a Kinyan at all, because Ma'os is not Kona. So Rav Papa asks, if Oshek Schar Sachir is talking about a case where you did a Mashicha, Hainu Pikadon, why is that any different than a Pikadon? That's exactly the same as a Pikadon. Says Mar, Trey Gavni, Pikadon, there are two types of Pikadon. There's a regular Pikadon, and then there's a Pikadon that was designated to pay, Schar Sachir, that was designated to pay for someone's wages. Ihachi, if by Oshek the Torah requires you to return it in a way that the guy took it and he gave it back to Mr. Bikadon, Tzumas Yad Nami Lahadri, by Halva, the Torah should mention that the Lov has to return the kli to the mouth of Lukme, and why not just say, Kigoshin Taloe Men of Chazar Vifkidu Etzlo? Meaning, why would the Pasuk change the case in the middle? It sounds like the Pasuk is giving examples of how I may end up with a kli that belongs to somebody else, and I swear falsely about it, and then I have to return it at the end when I admit to my swearing falsely. So it gave examples. You know, it's wages of a worker, it's a pikadon, it's a halva'a, whatever it is. There are many different cases where I have a kli of somebody else. Why would it, in the middle of the pasuk, it say, oh, when I'm talking about wages of a worker, that's where you did a mashicha on the kli that was designated. But when I'm talking about a halva'a, that's where you didn't do mashicha on the kli. Shouldn't it just be all the same case? Why would the Torah just, you know, switch the case in the middle of the pasuk? So says Gemara, no, iahadri kra. If the Torah would have just kept it the same and would have mentioned it, the whole list the second time around, then lo tiyuftav lo siyata, then it wouldn't have been a raya one way or the other whether Ma'os is konos or not. Meaning, if you hold that Ma'os is konos, you'll say, yeah, there was no mashicha in any of these cases. It was purely about Ma'os. And if you go, Ma'os is not konos, you'll say, yeah, all these cases, there must have been a mashicha. So it wouldn't be a raya in one direction or another. But hashta de lo hadrikra, but now that the Torah splits the cases and says, oh, there's one case where you're actually going to have to return it, and there's another case where you're not going to have to return it. So I'm going to have to make an ukimta of why in one case yes, in one case no. Ooh, must be that in one case there was a mashicha, the other case there was only ma'os. And therefore it's a raya that misayelei, that Reish Lakish is correct, that ma'os is not konos. So the Gemara asks on Rava that the Torah doesn't mention the Chiyuv HaShava by Tzumas Yad, asked the Gemara, Utzumas Yad Lo Ahadri Kra. Wait, your whole raya was based on the notion that the Torah never mentions returning the halva'a. Vahatanya, but don't we have a braisa that Amar Rabbi Shimon, Minayin Litein Es Hamar L'mayla L'mata? How do I know that all of the things that are written at the beginning of the Parsha of Karban Shavua apply even to the end of the Parsha of Karban Shavua, meaning the Chiyuv HaShava when you're moda that you swore falsely? Dechsiv, because it says by the Chiyuv HaShava, oh, mikol asher yishava alav lashacher. V'amrav nachman amrav baravua amrav l'rabos sumas yad liyishavon. That even sumas yad, even the halva'a case is alluded to even at the end of the parsha. So how can Rava be mochiach that Moses is not kona from the fact that it doesn't repeat sumas yad? We learn from a drasha that it does repeat it, even though it doesn't repeat it explicitly, but it's referred to. It says Mar behedya mielo adrikra. Yeah, but it's not explicit. So the fact that it's not explicit means the Torah is sending me a message. That if the Torah starts out with a list of four items and it says, here's the case. You lied and swore falsely about these four items, about halva and schar sachir and pikadon, right, whatever the four. And then when the Torah says, and afterwards you admit that you lied, so you have to return, and it only lists three of those items. It leaves one off the list. I don't care that it happens to be that there's a way, if you read the Torah with all the drushes, that you know that it's actually referring to the fourth item also. The Torah was drawing our attention to the fact that there's something different over there. So what's different? What's different over there is that it's only Ma'os and it was no Mashicha. And Ma'os is not Kodem in the Torah. So that was the Raya to Reish Lakish from the Pasuk. So now the Gemara says, and Masnisa Minalan, we have a Raya to Reish Lakish that Ma'os is not Kodem in the Torah from a Braisa. Ditanya, because the Braisa says, Let's say you have a pruta of hekdesh, nisan lebalan, and b'shogeg you give it to the bathhouse attendant. So ma'al, right away you violated mi'ila by misappropriating b'shogeg the hekdesh money. Va'amarav dafka balan hu delom chasr mashicha. It's only if you give it to a balan because you're not buying something tangible where you would need to do a mashicha in order to be kona something. So the second you paid him, the second you gave him the money, you've already misappropriated the hekdesh. Aval midiachrisim, but something else like where you didn't do a Mashiach yet, meaning if you were paying someone hektish money to buy something and you didn't do a Mashiach on that item that you were buying, then you didn't violate Mi'ila until you actually did the Mashiach. So you see clearly from this Braisa that Mos is not Kona Min HaTorah, because if Mos were Kona Metaltalin Min HaTorah, then even if I didn't do the Mashiach, the second I gave him the money, I was Kona the item, and therefore it should have already been a violation of Mi'ila. So ask the Gemara, how can you say that someone who gives a matbeah shel hekdesh for something that's missing mashicha is not in violation of me'ila, because mo'us is not kona? Va'atanya, but we have a braisa, nesan l'sapar, that if a person gives a matbeah of hekdesh to a barber, ma'al, he violates me'ila. Now v'sapar, habayi l'mimshach tisporas. The someone who hires a barber has to do a mashicha on the kli tisporas in order to hire him, because anything that you have something to do a mashicha on, you're not going to be kona until you do that mashicha. So why is it that when you pay the sapper right away, even though there's no kinyan at all, it's just money, why is it that it's a violation of mi'ila right away? I thought Moshe and Kodos. So b'sapper nachri. Now we're talking about a non-Jewish barber, delav bar mashicha hu, where you can't be kona from him with mashicha, because the din of kinyan mashicha is derived from the pasuk of okanu miyad Amisecha. Amisecha means Am Yisrael. It means only a Jewish person is Kona b'Mashicha. But by a guy, Moos is Konos and not Mashicha. And therefore, someone who gives a Pruta Shal Hektish to a Sapar who's a Nachri, so he violates Mi'ila right away, because there is no further Kinyan that needs to be done. So the Gemara brings a Raya to that Teretz. Tanya Namiachi, we have a Braitha that supports this. And the son of the Sapar, Ole Sapan, Ole Kolbali Umanus, Loma'al Adimashach. If you give Hektish money to a barber, that's the key line, the sapar, or a sapan, or any other bali umnus, there is no mi'ila until a mashicha is done. Well, kashina hadadi, we just had a brisa that said that no, as soon as you pay him, there's already mi'ila. So it's a steer in the brisas. One brisa says, I pay the barber hektish money, I violate a mi'ila right then and there. And the other brisa says, I pay the barber hektish money, no mi'ila until there's actually a mashicha. So how do you reconcile the two? Elav shmamina kan besapar nachri, kan Sapar Yisrael, Shema Mina. It must be that if it's a Jewish barber where Mashicha is shayach to him, so there's no Me'ila until Mashicha is done on the scissors or something. But if it's a non-Jewish barber where Mashicha is not shayach to him, so then there's Me'ila. Now it happens to be the Gemara says you're not supposed to go to a non-Jewish barber by the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, because there was always a chashash that they would murder you. That you have sharp implements as they're giving you the haircut. So the Gemara says, though, there's a head if you have a mirror, that if you have a mirror in front of you, so you see if the guy behind you when he's cutting your hair is going like this, and he's about, so then you know that you can that you should duck and that you should move out of the way. So it's possible that a person has beheter that he goes to a sapar nachri. Now the Gemara quoted the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan that Moses konos metaltel min haTorah. So the Gemara brings another meaning. All of this whole conversation we've had in the daf today was all sheetas Reish Lakish, that Moses is not konos min haTorah, and we just brought a raya from a pasuk that the Torah doesn't mention sumas yad when it talks about the hashava, and a raya from a braisa about mi'ila. So okay, that was all Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan was of the opinion that Moos is kona min haTorah. So now the Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan was not alone in holding that Moos is kona min haTorah. Rav Nachman also holds dvar Torah Moos konos. The Gemara brings a raya to Rabbi Yochanan now. Ubedaka Levi b'masnisei va'ashkach. Levi looked all over the Tosefta. He was arranging Toseftas, and he found a raya that a chenveni that takes b'shogeg a pruta of hegdish and his son of the siton, and he gives it to a siton. What's a siton? A siton is someone who's like Rashi writes a chenveni gadol who sells a lot, lots and lots of peros to smaller shops, meaning like a wholesaler who sells to to the smaller shops, and they pay him as they get paid, a little bit. I mean, as they sell whatever little bit they have in their little makolet that they're running. So initially, the kinyan is that he gives him a small amount of money for everything. So that's what this chenveni does. He gives the siton a pruta of hegdish as like a down payment for lots and lots of payrolls that are going to be coming. Even though he didn't do a meshicha on the lots and lots of payrolls, so ma'al, it's a violation of mi'ila. So you see clearly, like Rabbi Yochanan, that Moses is konos metaltan min haTorah, because even though he didn't do a meshicha on those lots and lots of payrolls, all he did was give some money. That's enough. That's enough to affect the kinyan. So ask the Gemara, elokasha the Reish Lakish. What's Reish Lakish going to do with that brisa? Meaning, any brisa you can bring as a support for Rabbi Yochanan is going to be a problem for Reish Lakish. So amalach Reish Lakish, hamani Rabbi Shimon hi. No, by definition, it won't be a problem for Reish Lakish, because Reish Lakish didn't say that he thinks all Tanoim agree Ma'os is not kona. Remember, we learned yesterday Reish Lakish holds that it's a machlokas, that Rabbi Shimon holds Ma'os is kona, and the Reish Chacham holds Ma'os is not kona, and he holds like the Chachamim that Ma'os is not kona. So any price that says Ma'os is kona, easy, that's going like Rabbi Shimon, and that's perfectly fine according to Reish Lakish. Okay, that was the hard part of the daf. Now the Gemara goes on to discuss the concept of Misha Para. Right, Avalamru Misha Para. We said that the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished other dishonest people and generations throughout history will punish someone who's not Omid B'diburo. So Itmar, how is a Misha Para implemented? Machlokas Abayin Rava. Abayin Amar Oduim U'di'inanle. Bezin lets the guy know that when he backs out on the sale, that you should know if you back out on this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will punish you. Rava Amar Meilet Laitinanle. No, Bezin has to actually curse the guy. They have to actually make this curse that God should punish you. Not that they inform him that you're going to be under this general promise of a curse, that here it is, and they curse him right there on the spot. So the Gemara explains the svar of each one. You're not allowed to curse people, so Bezin's not going to violate the halach and go and curse people. But they'll let him know, it's not us, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He curses people who does things like this. Rava Amar Latina Lay, the Chsiv Ba'amcha. It says Vinasi Ba'amcha lo sa'ar, Ba'osa Ma'isa'amcha. That only applies to people who are behaving themselves, someone who's not doing an Aveira. But there's no way to be Makalal, someone who's not Osa Ma'isa'amcha. So since this person is not Omid B'diburo, he's violating an Isser. Because the Navi says in Sefanya, She'eris Yisrael lo Yasu Avla, V'lo Yidabru Chazav, V'lo Yimatzi B'fiyam Loshon Tarmis. That Jewish people are supposed to be honest. So when he's being dishonest, he's not being osa ma'isamcha. He's not acting Jewishly, and therefore you're allowed to curse him. That's not a violation. Nasibamcha losar. Amar Rava mina amina. Rava says, where do I know my din? That we actually curse him. Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef Yavali Zuza Amilcha, because it was a Maisa Shahaya that Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef sold salt and he got a little bit of money for payment for the salt, but the Mashiach was not yet done on the salt. And the Sofa Yakar Milcha, and then the salt went way up in value. So he wanted to back out on the sale. He wanted to give the guy his money back and say, okay, now I'll take this back to the market now that it's worth so much. So Asal Kamed Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef went to Rabbi Yochanan to try to figure out if he's allowed to back out. So Amalei, Rabbi Yochanan said to Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef, Zil havluhu, you better go give the purchasers of that salt their salt that they bought from you. V'ilo kabbalah lecha misha para. And if you don't, you're going to be makabbalah misha, klola misha para. V'yamatadu medina lei. But if all it is based in informing the guy that you should know that there are consequences over here and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes people like you, Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef, baraduihu, they have to tell Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef that Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef knows full well. He's a Talmud Chacham. You don't have to let him know what the consequences are of backing out on your words. But if it's a curse, so then you understand that the Beis Din has to implement that curse if he backs out. The Elamaisa says, well, wait a second. According to Rava, does this story still make sense? Meilat Laitinale, why you can say that Beis Din is Mekalalim? Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef, Asil Kabulile Latusud Rabbanan? Is Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef coming to Rabbi Yochanan in order to receive a klala from the Chachamim? Well, why would he even go to Rabbi Yochanan in the first place? I mean, we just said he knows full full well what the consequences of backing out are. Why is he showing up just to receive it? Here, curse me, because I'm about to make a lot of money, and I'm going to back out on my commitments. So that doesn't make any sense. So Ella must be that Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef, Irvon hu diavilei. No, they only gave him some of the money as a down payment, and therefore Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef wasn't interested in backing out on what was already paid for. He only wanted to back out on the rest, meaning that was his shaila. He wasn't coming and saying that, I'm doing this whether you like it or not, and therefore I'm going to get part. He was saying, look, it makes sense to me that there's a mishapara for the part that was already paid for, but there was lots of it that wasn't paid for yet. So the part that wasn't paid for, maybe there's no mishapara, and that's why he had to tell him, yes, there is. So who suffered? Chibar Yosef thought, kineged ukone, that the mishapara is going to be chal on whatever was paid for, kineged, the money that was given. Whatever was not given, I'm not going to have to suffer the consequences of mishapara. That I'm allowed to back out on. From Le Rabbi Yochanan, kineged kulo ukone, that it's kone the entire thing. Well, wait a second, didn't we say earlier that even though kineged, even if there was no money that changed hands, but you just agreed to do a kinyan, that it's not going to be mishapara, but ein ruach chachamim no chehemenu, the chachamim aren't going to be happy with you. Why was such a talmud chacham like Chibar Yosef okay with that? He was saying, oh, the mishapara maybe only goes on the money that he paid, on the value of what he paid for, but not the rest. Okay, but it's still ein ruacham no chehemenu. So you see from here, the Rishonim will point out that ein ruacham no chehemenu is not when there's going to be a major monetary loss. And over here, the value changed. Ein ruacham no chehemenu is he back out for no reason. Over here, he's backing out for a very good reason. The price of salt went way, way up. So that's a good reason for him to back out. Then you're not going to apply. You'll still apply mishapara, but you're not going to apply in rachamim nochemenu. So the Gemara brings a machlokas. Itmar, a ravon, if a person pays part a down payment, ravomer kenegdo hukona, Rabbi Yochanomer kened kula hukona. Let's say when money is actually kona something. When is money really kona? That's by karka. Karka is nikna bekesu b'shtar b'chazaka. So what if someone made a down payment on a piece of karka? So are they kona the entire karka, or are they kona only up until the value? So that's the machlokas Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. So meisvei, the Gemara challenges, a person gives a down payment as a mashkon to a mocher on some sort of deal that they have to make a purchase between them, and they didn't do a proper kinyan yet. Va'amalo, the kona says to the mocher, im ani chozer bi, if I back out on this and I don't follow through with the kinyan, irvoni machaloch, I'll lose my down payment, and therefore it's given to you as a matana, and the mocher says to him, if I back out on this and don't follow through with selling this to you, then I'll give you double the money, I'll double your down payment when I return it back to you. They both have to live up to what their commitments to Rabbi Yossi. That's Rabbi Yossi's shita. So Rabbi Yossi the Tamei, Damar Smach Takanya. Rabbi Yossi is Lishita So, because Rabbi Yossi holds that even if you make a commitment that sounds like a guzma, it sounds like an exaggeration, it sounds like I'm not really committing to that, I just don't think it's ever going to happen, that's still kona. You still have to live with that. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, but Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, and he holds that these conditions that they make are not going to be chal, because asmachta is not kona. Dayushiakna keneged ervono. The kinyan is only chal on what corresponds to the down payment, meaning they're both able to be chozer on whatever is beyond the down payment, and they don't have to pay this extra kenas. So Amar Mishum Ben Gamliel, Bamed Var Mamurim, when does Rabbi Yehuda say that you're only kona keneged the down payment? Bizman Sha'amarlo, Ervoni Yikon. When the kona says to the mocher, the Ravon that I gave to you should be kona everything, and it shouldn't just be a down payment. So since it can't be kona everything, so it's only kona keneged Ervono. Avol Machalo Bayis Osada Be'elav Zuz. But if he sells him a house or a field to pay him 1,000 Zuz, Uparlo Mehem Chamesh Re'el Zuz, and he pays 500 of those zuz, whether he says that this money should be a down payment and the rest is going to be alva'a, or whether he doesn't say anything and he just pays him 500 zuz, kana. Then the lokeach is kana the entire house, the entire field, and they belong to him entirely. Umachzer lo hashar, and he has to pay him the rest of the money. Afilu lachar kama shanim, even if it's a mortgage that gets paid up over many years. So what comes out of this brisa, that if he doesn't say irvoni yikon, according to everyone, the down payment works keneged kulo. It works for the whole thing. So wasn't this the machlokas about what the down payment accomplishes? And here you have explicit that the down payment accomplishes a full kinyan on the entire thing. So if that's true when you're being kona karka with money. I would imagine it's also true when you're paying for metaltalin and you want to know how much of a mishapara do you have? How much is bound by the mishapara? So I would think whatever if a down payment on karka is going to affect the kinyan of a whole karka, so a down payment on metaltalin should affect a mishapara on the whole metaltalin. So my love, who adin the metaltalin bidistama kani lulukulu? Shouldn't we say that by metaltalin also, if you make a down payment on metaltalin, so that creates a mishapara on the entire thing? So says Marlo, nah, you can't bring a raya against Rav. Metaltalin bidistama lo kani. By metaltalin, you're only kona, they only get a mishapara connected what was actually paid for, connected the value that was actually paid for. Umaishna, why is it any different? Why should it be any different between karka and metaltalin? Well, a very simple difference. Karka, the bekaspa kani le mamish, by karka, where kesef is an actual valid form of kinyan. So good, when you say kani le lukula, when you pay some money, so that affects a kinyan, because it's an actual valid form of kinyan. Metaltalin, the kani le lukabuli mishapara, but metaltalin, where it's not really kona, it's not a valid form of kinyan, it's only a mishapara, so lo kani le kule. So you're not going to be kona the entire thing. You're only going to be kona up until the amount of money that you actually paid for. Okay, but from tomorrow, we'll pick up with how this might in fact be a machlokas tanoim, whether you're kona the whole thing with the down payment or you're only kona keneged the value of that down payment. Everyone have a wonderful day. Sorry to the Zoomers for the...